guys, and welcome to Cup of Tea and Talks with G, a place where the natural and random conversation amongst friends, family and peers flow over a cuppa. Relaxed, funny and easygoing conversations where nothing is off limits and tangents are encouraged. Think of the chatty, fun and open conversations you have around the table when catching up with someone and you think, oh my god, imagine if somebody overheard what we're talking about, because the conversation's gone down the most random and funny tangents. Well, that's what this podcast will be. I'll be speaking to different people from different walks of life with different experiences in each episode. So thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of Cup of Tea and Talks with G. I hope you're good. I hope you're feeling well. If you're listening to this on the day it goes out, happy Monday. And if you're not, happy whatever day it is for you. But yeah, I just hope obviously that you're feeling good. And yeah, that's pretty much it really. Thank you as always for clicking on and listening to the podcast. It means obviously so much. And before I get into this week's episode, I do want to obviously just sort of reiterate that point a little bit more. Promise I won't go on too long, but yeah, I suppose last week's episode, the 90s one, got so much good response. And obviously I know I had a lot of messages from people saying, oh my God, I was shouting along trying to, you know, give my memories or, you know, wanting to join in on the conversation with myself and guilt tripping. And yeah, it was just such a nice buzz. And yeah, just so that, you know, obviously every message or WhatsApp or Instagram share or whatever it looks like, it really doesn't go unnoticed. And it does proper spur me on to keep producing the episodes, to keep recording the conversations and just to keep thinking up any new ideas. So yeah, just thank you to everyone and anyone who does do that. And likewise, if you don't and you just listen, that also is amazing too. On a Monday morning when I wake up, it's not at 8 a.m. FYI. So by the time the podcast goes out, there's already been people listening to it before I've even woken up. And yeah, it's just class to see really. And just obviously to think that people come back each week to listen some more, and obviously hopefully because they enjoy it. So yeah, just a thank you to whether this is your first episode for clicking on or whether you've listened to every single one before now. Yeah, it's amazing, and it really makes me feel so special and so glad that I am doing this. So into today's episode, this one is actually going to be split over two weekly episodes. So this week will be part one and then next week will be part two. And the reason is because there's just so much cool stuff, I suppose, that we talk about. It's all relevant. I don't ever want to cut out anything for the sake of it. So yeah, the best thing to do is split it up. Otherwise we'd had a 2-hour episode today. So I'm talking to Emma Lennon this week and next week. And in May 2020, Emma gave birth to triplet girls. So Callie, Quinn and Minnie. So herself, her partner David and her little girl Casey. Emma sort of gave me an overview of what life was like sort of before they found out, obviously finding out they were having triplets. And then in this episode, we also talk about the pregnancy and the lead up to going into labor. And then from next week onwards, we talk about, I suppose, getting the girls home and life with triplets. We do, in typical Cup of Tea and Talks with G style, we do go off on a couple of different tangents. We go down a few different rabbit holes. But I think when it comes to, you know, new arrivals and pregnancy and childbirth, it obviously affects every other part of your life as well. So it would be hard for us to sort of only focus on the pregnancy or just the labor, because obviously, everything as well around that gets affected. But just a heads up, we do talk about like lockdown and restrictions, and we also sort of talk about mental health. So just so you're aware, obviously, that we do touch on that in this week's episode, just in case you're not feeling sort of listening to things like that today. But yeah, I'm really excited for you to hear this one. Emma is such an amazing guest. She's open and honest. She's funny. She tells it exactly as it is, the good, the bad and the indifferent. So I think she's a perfect person to have on to talk about it. She was actually one of the first people I taught about when I started the podcast, because obviously when she gave birth last May, my podcast was only sort of I literally was only in the infancy. I hadn't even gone out. So I straight away was like, oh my God, I need to get Emmett on to talk about it. And then also last year when I did the episode with my sisters about pregnancy and labor and being a mom, got so many amazing messages and so such a good response that I thought, actually, this is another, hopefully, episode that everyone enjoys too. But yeah, like I said, I had so much fun talking to Emma. We could have talked, we did talk for probably another hour after we switched off, on top of the 15-20 minute catch up we had before we hit record. So yeah, could have talked to Emma for so much more longer, but yeah, really hope you enjoyed this one. As always, if you've any thoughts or feedback or messages, just drop them over to me, and yeah, I'll speak to you really, really soon. Hi Emma.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm excited to chat for the podcast.
I know. I'm just excited to chat. We haven't spoken in so long. Yeah. We've already had like a 15-minute catch-up before this.
I know. And that's what we were saying. Like the last time we spoke properly or seen each other, I only had one child.
Yeah. And now, which we will get into, but that has quadrupled. You now have four.
Yes, I do. Four lovely lady babies.
I know, well, four little lady. Girls. Yeah.
I know.
It's so amazing.
Like the luckiest mom in the world.
No, definitely. And I will put photos and that up on the Instagram and stuff, but they are like little dollies. Well, Casey anyway was just a little doll. Mm. And now you've got three more little dollies to add to it. Like, it's so cute. Honestly, check out the photos and check out Emma's Instagram. But before we even get into the chats about you've been an amazing mommy, it is Cup of Tea and Talks with G. So keeping in time with that, and you know, it's 3:30 on a Thursday afternoon, it's a bit grey. What's your hot drink of choice? What are you drinking while we're sort of sitting and chatting? Mine's just the boring cup of tea, one sugar, drop of milk. I'm boring.
David's sister actually got us one of those coffee machines.
Oh yeah.
So I made a little coffee there, but I'm like running out. My diet is 80% caffeine, so like coffee is life.
no decaf in your house.
Absolutely not. That's why is that even invented? I have no idea.
I have to have decaf from after about 5 o'clock. Decaf tea. I don't even drink coffee. I have to have decaf tea or I'll be awake till 4 a.m. Like,
are you serious? Yeah. I have a coffee at 5:30 every day. Like, no. Like I can't go like from the kettle coffee kind of thing, and I have to, because that's when you need a little boost get ready for like the Nate's, evening routine. And it's
Nate's
like,
the same. What? He's got a proper fancy coffee machine and he could drink that at like 8 o'clock and still conk out as soon as we go to bed. And then I'm left there looking at him like jealous and wanting to like punch him, because I'm like, why can you just fall? Like, if I even look at a normal tea bag at like 8 o'clock, that's it. I'm wired. Like, it'll probably be, like I said to you, I'm very like living the luxury of like not having any kids and that sort of level of tiredness and needing the coffee. So maybe that will change in a few years. But yeah, I'm Nate's the same with the coffee. He's just like, he loves it. He needs it. I can't even stand the smell of it, let alone drink it. So
I only got introduced to coffee like a couple of years ago as well, when really? I was in work. As you know, I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah.
And when I was in work, and I would be like, so many cans of Red Bull. Like, if anybody was going to the shop, I'd be like, get me Red Bull.
No.
And then a couple of the girls were like, why don't you drink coffee? And I was like, oh, I don't really like hot drinks. And then I started drinking coffee, and then my world was awakened.
Yeah. I tried when I worked.
What a new way of working.
Yeah, when I worked in the salon, I tried. I'd make the nicest, frothiest cappuccinos. I'd add all the sugar, all the milk, and as soon, like, it would look amazing. As soon as I got to drink, I'd be like, bleh. And like at that stage, so I was having like the milkiest of teas with like 5 sugars. So I wasn't even as strong. I just like the hot drink. But now I'm a bit more grown up. I've a little bit of milk. Well, I've got a normal amount of milk and only 1 sugar. So I'm growing, you know, my taste buds.
I don't even like the milk to lick the tea. I just like literally, I just feel like you can blink and you miss it when I'm doing milk in the tea. I can't deal with it. I'm not a big fan.
Right, I'll remember that next time we can meet up in person. I'm not asking you to make me a drink. So you've given a bit of a brief, obviously you're a hairdresser and you've got 4 babies, but do you want to sort of expand on that and just sort of say who you are and just a little bit about you, anything weird or wonderful that people mightn't know?
I am 32, just gone 32, and myself and my partner David, we were trying for a baby for a few years. I have a little girl, Casey, who is 10. She's going to be 11 in June. And we were trying for a baby for years and we got three at the same time. I had triplets last May, and yeah, life has just gone in a completely mad direction. As I said, a hairdresser, I had literally just opened up my own salon. That was going to be my baby because we were having such trouble. I kind of like poured all of my energy into creating this salon space, and I had big plans and big ideas for it. And then I found out I was pregnant. I was like, that's okay, David, modern I'll man, do it, yeah. You go to work. Daddy daycare, no problem. I was like, okay, we can do it. And as I got all of the legal paperwork back and everything like that, I had my first scan in the hospital and went in, and the sonographer said, oh, there's a little harpy. Oh, there's two beautiful little souls. And then she said, there's three beautiful little souls. And David was on the ground.
Oh,
I was like jelly on the plate. I was wibbly wobbly wonder all over the place. And it's just been crazy chaos since then.
Oh my, honestly, I remember the video that you put up of telling Casey, and I think, is it your parents? And honestly,
that's my granny and granddad.
Is it? I didn't know
who
that
was. My grandparents.
Oh my god, they had Casey for the day, was it?
What happened was, Grania, we went for the appointment, but because obviously we got a lot of nails at that appointment, the day was very long. And we weren't expecting to be that long, and we thought we'd be back for Casey coming home from school. So I had to ring my granny and granddad and ask them if they would collect Casey from the school bus, so that, because we weren't going to be at home, and obviously somebody needs to be there for the Casey cakes. But and it's funny when it's always very funny when I'm thinking back to this, because like I had to ring from the hospital being like, I'm having triplets, and nobody believed me. Because I am pranker of the year. That is definitely something that I would do.
Like you and David, like even when I watched the video, I was like, where's the punch? Like, where's the joke coming at the end of this? Because I was like, I can't take this seriously. Like, I was like, no.
But the two of us are jokesters as it is. So when we're giving out this news, and like it wasn't all very like happy at the start, Grania, because they thought that there might be something wrong with the babies. So at the start, we didn't know that they were girls at this stage. But the sonographer actually thought that she could see nuchal folds at the back of the neck, which would be an indicator of like a chromosome disorder, like spina bifida or Down syndrome or some other disorder. So we were like in the bad news. Do you know when you go to hospital and you're getting bad news? And so they had told us that like there could have been a chromosome issue, and then they sent us off into the little room. Well, like that's what I was saying there, it's like the bad news room, because it's a bit nicer than all the other rooms in the hospital. And we were just sitting there waiting for somebody else to come in as a second opinion. And I checked my phone and I had like barely any battery. Like I had 4% or something like that on my phone. David's phone had died already. Like we were there for ages. We weren't expecting to be there.
You expect
long.
To go in and out, quick scan. Exactly. And like they'd,
I mean, like I've done this 10 years ago. I was like, I know what I'm doing here. You know, I'll be in no harm.
David, don't even worry about coming with me.
Yeah, I was like, that's grand. But when I had to ring home then, you know, like they didn't believe me, and I can't even blame them for not believing me, but I'm going, you have to believe me, like there could be something wrong. And my granny went, okay. And I said, I'm looking at the scan photo here. Now, I would never be rude or coarse or at my grandparents or anything like that. And I said, I'm looking at the fucking scan photo. And my granny said, yeah, but you can keep on looking at the fucking scan photo.
And if they thought though, you'd even say like bad news, like to really get your point across, as if they still didn't believe you, and you saying this is serious, like.
But this is the level of jokester that me and Dave are at. Like we really are those people. Like I can't even blame them for not believing.
It's almost like the boy who cried wolf. It's like you've done so many jokes that it's like now when I'm trying to be serious, nobody believes you.
And like I was like, I'm obsessed with twins. Like dad's a twin. Yeah, my dad's a twin. His brother and sister are twins.
Do you know I'm a twin?
David has a twin. No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, my sister Kiva, we're twins. No jokes.
I did not know that. My God.
But non-identical.
It's like, I am going to be stalking the life and soul of your social media.
You wouldn't, honestly. When people look at photos, they think my little sister Emma, who's 22. If I show a photo of all my sisters together, I say, pick out my twin, they'll pick Emma. And I'm like, I'll take that because she's 22. But I'm like, no, it's my other sister. And like, growing up, people didn't, we even went to separate secondary schools initially. I went to Green Hills and she went to the Ollie's. It wasn't until I...
How did I not know this?
It's just, you wouldn't know, I don't think. Because I've got like four sisters. I think people just, they think we're probably close in age and stuff. But yeah, no, twins, but just non-identical. So we get away with being sisters as opposed to like, oh, they're the twins. But we, amongst family and that, it's always the twins. Like, we'll the never twins. Not be the twins. And the girls will always be known as the triplets, unfortunately for them.
I know. Yeah,
so is it identical twins that are in the family? Or is it...
No, they're not. They're just paternal twins. So, they're non-identical, but these, my girls are identical. They're spontaneous, so like, it didn't come from genetics.
No,
like the girls are spontaneous and they shared the same placenta.
Wow.
And the same sac, so it was a really, really, really rare pregnancy.
I can't remember, I think it was Shauna that was saying to me that it was something like 1 in 20 million chance or something of it being like identical, like non's, like treatment wise type thing.
Yeah, like spontaneous, like naturally conceived to triplets. Yeah, but when we were looking it up, like it ranged from something like 1 in 70,000 to 1 in 200 million. Like,
you
wouldn't know. And like other kind of accounts and stuff like that that I follow on Instagram, which is like the mecca like of information for me for triplets, because it's very difficult to find info on the in the internet, like on just general like websites. But anyway, yeah, like they all, when I'm looking at their bios and stuff, and it's always like 1 in 200 million, like they always go with the really like
crazy,
the really, really furthest away one, whereas I'm like, no, I don't want to be big headed about this. So I'll go rare. With like, but we're special.
Oh, honestly, I said when it came out you were pregnant with triplets, I like automatically assumed, I didn't know obviously you and David were trying or anything, but I just assumed maybe it was like IVF, because when you hear multiples, that's your first thought, because you think this doesn't just happen. And then when it was like that, they were identical, I was like, oh my God, like what, like you say, what are the chances, 1 in 200 million? But like, I literally like, and that was actually going to be one of my next questions, like how did you, like obviously after the, you found out that the bad news wasn't bad news and all of that, and it started to settle, like how did that feel? Because I remember being floored. I was telling anyone over here that would listen, my friend Emma is pregnant with triplets, and people are like, yeah, that's great. And I was like, no, but you don't understand, like I couldn't get my head around it, and I'm not dealing with it, like, so I can't even fathom what that was like for you guys.
It was insane, because like as I was obsessed with twins, like, you know, and I was going around the place, and because we were trying for so long, I was saying, wouldn't it be great now? Wouldn't that just be ideal?
You attracted that. Twins? You attracted the triplets.
You know, Granny, it's funny that you say that, because I'm into this law of attraction. I'm looking into this a lot more now. And I was saying that Francesca Amber podcast, The Law of Attraction Changed My Life, is literally changing my life.
Yeah.
And it's just opened up my eyes to just a different way of thinking. But from listening and learning a lot about it, I think, and now I've said this before I started looking into this a bit more, but I genuinely truly believe it. I think that we all wished so much for a baby that we got one each. Because it wasn't, I just like, I really wanted one, David really wanted one, and Casey really, really wanted one. She didn't mind if it was a brother or sister. She just, like, she's been on her own for, she was on her own for 10 years.
Yeah.
As an only child. And she got the best of that as well. Don't get me wrong. Like, she's my little sidekick and we went everywhere together. But we wanted to complete our family, and we wanted to add on, and we wanted to just, solidify our little, a little family group, you know. And I think that we did wish so much that we got one each.
That is so, I never even thought of it like that. That's so special, like the fact that, like you say, you each got one little baby. And yeah, I believe
that they
manifested
were meant for
them. Yeah, you manifested them, like just with all the circumstances and everything, like you say, like it's just, it was meant to be, like it couldn't have been any other way.
And I knew they were girls.
Did you?
I did, yeah. Like when I had Casey, I bought girls' clothes. Like I was working in Tesco's at the time. I was only 20. And I was picking up the girls' clothes that I was seeing. You know, like when anything was going on sale, I was like, oh, give me that. And I remember my mom, she was just giving out stink to me. And she was like, why are you buying all these girls' clothes?
Oh, did you not know?
You're having a buy. Oh, no, I didn't know.
You didn't know. Find out? Oh, okay.
No, on Casey, I hadn't a clue. Now, on the triplets, I found out because you got
enough surprises at that stage. It was enough shock.
I need to know. I need to know what I have to bloody buy. Like, yeah. I need information. But, yeah, when I was pregnant on Casey, I was buying girls' clothes. Like, it was going out of fashion. And, yeah, my mom was giving out to me saying that this baby is a boy. But I knew. And, like, I was saying, after I had Casey, and she was a girl, obviously, I was saying, like, I know that if I have another baby, I'm a girl machine. I know that they'll be girls.
You just got that energy.
Saying that. Yeah, I'm just like a girl mom. I'm just I do, and you know, David is so hyperactive and boys have a reputation of being boisterous. I was going, imagine if I had three boys.
One of you.
three David legging it around the place. Oh, no. I'd be able to deal with my life. But yeah, no, I kind of just knew that they were girls. I had gut feeling they were girls. Yeah. And when we did the gender reveal, like, I'm so happy that we did a gender reveal. It's very American and very, it's kind of all that culture is creeping over here now.
Yeah,
though.
Definitely.
But yeah, and it's great. Like, don't get me wrong, but like beforehand, like, and I wasn't really an Instagram user, so like I didn't really, I was a bit like, that's cringe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was like,
but we've spoken about this before, haven't we? About putting stuff out. And like wanting to do stuff, but then being more worried about what other people think.
Yes.
We've spoke about like, yeah, we spoke even about podcasts and stuff, isn't it? I was saying like, oh, I'm scared to do it. And you were like, do it. And you were like, I'd love to do this, this, this. And it is, we put so much onus on other people. And like, you'll like with things like the law of attraction and even like what we spoke about with lockdown and stuff, you just think like, fuck it. Life is too short to be bothered. Like,
exactly.
It takes a lot of time to get there. Like, it's not like easy enough. You'll forget about it. Like, I still cringe every time I post something. Like every day I'm like, nobody cares. I'm like, but I want to post it, so I care. But it's reminding yourself constantly of that.
Other people's opinions as well. Like, most people don't really care, or they most don't. People are not looking, like, they're not there to judge. But you do, you've been, I think if you've been hurt by other people's comments in the past, I think, you know, like I had people text me, that's my old coming in. I had people DM me on Instagram saying, you know, like, we don't need to see what you do with your kids every day.
What?
I'm like, why are you following me then?
Oh, yeah,
leave.
Exactly. Like, what do you expect to see then? Like,
and you know, that was at the start when I had started to do the videos and stuff like that, the morning videos, which are like the most popular thing on my Instagram page. I have so many lovely messages that come through.
I
as
love
well, but you do
seeing every morning you going in and waking the triplets, not wait, like going in to get them in the mornings. Like, honestly, it calms me, or I can't even explain it, but it's just the purest, happiest little videos. Do you know what I mean? Because you see their faces, and like, I can imagine, like, that's probably the calm before the storm of the rest of the day being flat out and busy. But it just seems so nice, so chill, and such a happy way to start every day. So the
it
fact
is.
That you share
it
that
really
with other
does.
People, I'm like, please keep doing that.
Well, it sets you up for the day. And I tell you how I actually started sharing those videos was my nanny. She passed away, unfortunately, there a while ago. But she had dementia.
Right.
And you know, when people that have dementia or like Alzheimer's or anything like memory or brain related, they kind of regress back into their younger years
selves,
and whatever. And like, my nanny was mad for babies and dogs and stuff like that. So when she was up in the park, oh, come here to me, like, could be a German Shepherd, absolutely like pounding
huge.
Towards her. She's like, look at you, you're beautiful. But dogs and babies. And then, so obviously with lockdown and the restrictions and all that, I was sending videos. Like, my dad was my nanny's live-in carer. Like, he was with her 24/7. So I would be sending the videos on WhatsApp to my dad, and my nanny be kissing the phone.
Oh,
and I'd be looking over them, and I'd be seeing like just how happy and how cute the videos were. So I decided to put them up on my stories, and it just went insane. Like, people, I just started getting loads of followers now. I'm hardly like, I don't know, Britney.
You became Kardashian in no time.
Followers. Listen, I don't want to be Kim. I want to be Kris Jenner.
Kris, you will. You are going to be the biggest momager ever, actually. Now that you've said it, I'm like, you're on the phone there.
That's what I said. I'm going to buy myself a pair of Tom Ford sunglasses and change my last name legally to Jenner.
Oh my God. You just need to start walking around with the camcorder. Like, feck off the iPhone. It's the camcorder. You need to do that.
I'm like, Kim Kardashian is my queen. And I am like following that since it started. And that's the same when we had the gender reveal. My mom was like, oh my God, you're Kris Jenner.
You're manifesting it. You see, it's going to become true. It's going to be a thing.
Who knows, Granny? Who knows? But like, I will literally, that would be my ideal job.
Yeah, but like, not been funny, but you've
kids at the front, me in the back,
and you've given labor to triplets. So I feel like, you know, if this is the life that you get out of that, like, I feel like people want to see it. Like I said, I love seeing the triplets, but like, I loved watching, so even going back before they were born, just your whole progress. I mean, like, sharing your bump pictures, but I like that. And like, I know, like you say, sometimes people will say they don't, but then you're like, well, do you know what, there's this great thing I've heard of, it's called unfollow. And if you do that, you know, and I unfollow if I don't like seeing something, or if I get bored of seeing something, I'll unfollow. Now, I won't tell someone I've unfollowed, because that's none of their business.
That's me.
Like, I'm not going to say I've unfollowed you because of XYZ, because like, they don't need to know that. And like, I'm well within my rights.
That's like people that leave the group chat, isn't it? It's like, goodbye.
Announcing, I have left. You're like, well, making it, like, nobody cares. Like, and like you say, you're just sharing stuff that, and even if it is only 10 people, like, I found it actually with the podcast, like, I was so afraid to put it out. And then I'd get messages, and like, I couldn't tell you, like, I don't know. Sometimes maybe, like, I know how many people listen, but like, if I thought one day that only one person listened, I'd be like, isn't that so lovely that one person actually spent 40 minutes of their time listening to me rambling on? Like, and it's just about reminding yourself about that, like, that a few people out there are actually enjoying it.
The majority of people are lovely.
Yeah.
That's it was my birthday. So on Valentine's week, so say from the 14th, like, it's my birthday. So it's like David's birthday, my birthday, Valentine's, all in the same week.
Oh my God.
And we wouldn't be mad, like, celebrate like Valentine's or anything like that.
No, we don't.
But because of lockdown, we decided that every little thing to celebrate was worthwhile.
Yeah.
So we went and we did the whole, the gifts and fancy dinner. And we had the girls in bed, and I actually went up. I went up and had a shower, done my hair, makeup, blow dried, the whole 9 yards, and got dressed up, fancy jeans on top with a pair of slippers. And we had a lovely dinner in. But because we had such a busy week, I was living in the moment. Like, I wasn't going in and filming the girls in the morning, because guess what, I had a few lions because it was my birthday. So it's just little things like that, you know. But it was so funny to see the response from people. Like, I say funny, it's actually heartwarming, because you had some people that would message it and say, like, you okay? Like, I had been going through an awful lot of like mental health struggles, anxiety and panic attacks and stuff like that recently. And I think a lot of people were just checking in, just to make sure that I hadn't gone insane. I had people that were just missing the morning videos and the updates, and it was nice to know that they were missed, you know.
And that people notice, like you say, like, it's one of them where we talk so much about, you know, check in on the people who, you know, you think might need it and stuff. And even if a stranger just saying, like, you know, I just noticed that you're not posting your videos, like, that in itself could be a massive, if you were feeling any which way, like, really down and stuff, that could be something that massively helps, because you think, like, somebody cares. And sometimes it takes maybe somebody that you don't expect to care. Like, we expect that our family and our partners and all that care, but somebody who doesn't have to care, when they actually do, it can sometimes mean more, because you're like, you don't need to message me. Like, you know, I wouldn't be upset if you didn't message me, but the fact that you've noticed and you've taken the time, like, say, it's really, really heartwarming.
Yeah, it's lovely. Like, the people are for the most part lovely. It's just that you always remember dicks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they And they put themselves on a bloody flashing pedestal. They stand out more than the people mm-hmm. who aren't. And it's annoying, but it's just human nature that we do, unfortunately, hone in. Like, you know, you could get 100 lovely mm-hmm. messages and you'll get one not so nice one, and that's it. You lose sleep over it. And it's, mm-hmm. I get infuriated with myself, but I'm like, but we're only human. And as human beings, we want to be liked, which is even more annoying, because I'm like, yeah. I wish I didn't care, but we do.
I know, it's like, yeah, I think though as well, with looking into the whole the law of attraction and your vibration and all the rest of it, like, I mean, I used to think that was very like hippy dippy.
Yeah.
Like people tell me, I'll read The Secret and do this, and I'd be going, oh, here, I haven't got time to talk about. But I'm like on this little journey now, and it's changed my mindset. But it's helped me kind of accept that there are assholes. Yeah. And we do always remember the bad comments, but there are so many lovely ones as well. And that's about being grateful for the people that are actually nice to you as well, you know.
And that's it. It's just a mindset switch, but it's with social media and all. And I swear, no matter what the episode with the podcast is, every episode always has an undertone about something to do with social media. And I've got one plan to do about social media, because it's just, no matter, like, we're talking about the fact that you gave birth to triplets, but yet social media was still such a, not a big part, but obviously it's something that you think of when you were pregnant and when the girls were only like really, really little and stuff. It still is something that has such a massive effect on everything we do, which is so annoying, mm-hmm. but it's life.
Well, do you know what though? I know it is annoying, but especially during these times, don't give yourself a hard time about that, because social media is the only way that we are connecting. Yeah. Like, I have so many family members that have never met my babies.
I know. They're nearly a year old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, sad. It's just the COVID and the restrictions and the lockdowns, they've robbed us all of time that we will never ever get back. So I, for one, for all the negative things that come with social media, I am delighted that I have that platform to share my babies on, because, like, and I don't care what anybody says, new moms, it's a kind of a rite of passage that you get to show your baby off.
Yeah. Oh my god, you should be showing your baby off.
Yeah, and like, you're nearly afraid to go outside now with them as well, because you can't control what other people do, like come over to the pram and stuff now in my local area out here. Like, it's small and quaint, like seaside village, you know yourself, but you kind of know most people, or you recognize them or whatever, and you don't mind saying, oh, you wouldn't mind, don't touch the pram or something like that. Well, we were in Dublin at Christmas time doing some shopping, and like some style vendors, like, they couldn't wait to come over, and they were touching the kids, and I was looking at David like, mama gonna have to slap somebody right now.
You can understand now with like the mama bears, like, why they get so protective over their babies. And it's like, and like you say, people, they mean the best intentions, but like you say, you've already gotten, like, you've gotten them dressed, you've gotten yourself dressed, you've gotten all of you out of the house, you're in Dublin, which can be quite overwhelming even in a lockdown, because it's still always busy, it's busier than any other part of the country, and then you have that, like, to contend with, like, come on, like, people never cease to surprise me sometimes. I'm like, really? Like, what the hell? Like, but
if it hadn't have been for going to see Arnott's department store, just for everybody and of your people in the UK, Arnott's is like the place to go to see Santa. He is the real Santa. And we go, I've been going ever since I was like a baby myself, and then Casey went, and then I wanted everybody to have the same photos, you know,
this year as well, especially considering that, like, it wasn't as easy necessarily to get it. You had to do it.
We went up anyway, and we did that, and if it hadn't have been for that, now I probably wouldn't have went.
No, yeah, because like you say, there's so many other factors that adds in a layer of stress and anxiety and all of that. But like, you've got,
do you think, Rania, that you get kind of like conditioned to stay in?
I'm like,
having triplets is a big deal in like every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get a pram for the girls, and we bought it like third hand, because they're really expensive to buy, and like for the lie down part when they're only babies, that's really heavy. Like, the whole thing is really heavy, and you wouldn't really be going you can adapt it to what, like, to up until they're like two or something, I think it is, but you wouldn't be, you'd want to have the muscles of Arnold Schwarzenegger to be able to.
Well, you're
push
pushing
it around.
Three humans around and yourself.
Exactly.
And the buggy.
And the buggy itself is so heavy. So we actually ordered in like this Rolls Royce of prams come in from the States. It's like, it's called a Zoe triple stroller, and it's like excellent. But they don't do international shipping. So we have to do like, you know, like a dress pal, you know, all this kind of stuff to try and get it in. So we got it in, and every, like, when the sun started shining, I was like, right, and going out every day. And for like 3 or 4 days in a row, I was pounding the pavement. I was like, I had my AirPods in. I was like pretending I was in the music video going up and down the street. And yeah, I was living life. But then, the novelty factor kind of wore off a little bit, and I kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to have to go out again. You kind of just get conditioned to stay indoors.
But as well,
like,
as that,
oh,
it's
when
not,
I get dressed,
you're not even walking. Like, I walk every day with Simba, and must have been 2 weeks ago. I enjoyed it, and it was the one thing that, like, with any of the lockdowns that couldn't be taken away because you were allowed to go for your walk, and I could go for my walk. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I went out 3 times over the 7 days, and that never happens. It's because maybe Nate was off, or Nate was taking him for a walk or whatever. And honestly, I was like, I just don't want to walk anymore. I'm sick of walking the same walks and not going anywhere. And I love walking for the sake of it, but I literally was just like, I want to walk, but stop in a coffee shop and meet someone and then walk home. Like, it was that, like you say, you feel like you're just going around on a conveyor belt. And it was just, I'm back on it now because I've, like, that we've had an update with our restrictions, so it's given everyone a bit of a second wind over here to, like, right, the end is in sight type.
Not fair.
I know.
We don't know what we're doing over here.
Honestly, like, I couldn't, like, to be honest, I think for me, the two announcements, because I follow both so close, I get so confused because I know the Irish restrictions as much as I know here, but, like, it was like polar opposites. I was like, one, I feel like we're in fairy tale land, and then the other one, it was like, just don't, like, just keep going. And I was like, what the hell? I was trying to, like, get in the middle ground of it all and try and figure it all out, because as much as obviously the UK restrictions affect us first, we're also affected by the Irish restrictions. So, like, everything they do, I'm like, can you open back up, please? I'd like to see some people. But, like, so I literally hone in as everyone's like, isn't it great? And I'm like, yeah. It's, and they're like, and we can start seeing people again. I'm like, well, some people, but not all people. Not all the people that we want to see, we can see. But, you know, we will. We're fine, thankfully.
It's mad because, like, when I was pregnant and the girls, I couldn't stand for longer than about 15 minutes, I'd say. So I was lying down, like, in the bed most of the day. From about 28 weeks, I'd say, I was just like, I had plenty of energy and I had the want and everything to do stuff, but I had a baby growing in my ribs. That was Quinn. She grew in my ribs. So Kelly grew on my left hand side, Minnie grew on the right, and Quinn grew in the loft, I was calling it, in the ribs. And I was lying down like a good amount of the day, let's just say. But it was Sky News that, like, I had Sky News on in the background constantly, and I could tell you anything that you wanted to know about Brexit.
Oh, God.
The Brexit COVID queen. I could have told you anything that you wanted to know about it. But my sister lives in the UK. I don't know, do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
She lives in Crawley. Yeah, she moved to the UK to be... She was working for Virgin Atlantic.
No way.
Now, unfortunately, obviously nobody's going anywhere. They made redundancies, and she got through a couple of them, but she did get let go in the end. And so, like what you say, like, we have, my sister is over there, and then I have an aunt and uncle and cousins that are over in the UK too. So we're keeping an eye, like, nearly as closely on the UK restrictions as what we have here. And I'm looking over you guys over there, and I'm saying, at the start I was going, what are they doing? Would they ever get their act together?
Oh, they
don't know what they're doing. And now we are over here being like, like just scratching their heads. Like, we haven't got
the same though.
Anything.
Like, I don't
know. At least you have a date though.
No, I do. But at the same time, I don't know if he just, so I feel like he said he didn't really, like, we don't have any less restrictions at the moment. You guys are going to get an update around the 5th of April. We can't really do anything else until the end of March. So really, he just sort of dangled a carrot that's June to But nothing's changed now, but everyone's on this new level. But for the next few weeks, nothing has actually changed. But I think because he sort of like was like, right, we're not changing anything now, but in June you can do this. Everyone's just been like blindsided and we're just, it's just deflected.
You're smashing the vaccine rollout. But as well. Yeah, like, you know, obviously the vaccine. Yeah. Like, I am, and I just, I'm such a proud Irish person that I just really wanted us to do better.
Yeah, always. I am just saying, like, though, I'm proud Irish as well. And like, but like things that both have done between the, you know, the travel and stuff like that. And like, obviously I'm like, I don't want them to shut airports. I don't think they should ever shut airports, because there's, I think people forget that airports aren't just for holidaymakers. Like, there's people that need to travel and all of that. But like, there was just certain things that I was like, oh good God. And actually, and this ties back in with, it was the same, I don't even know exactly how it's worked out here. I think it's gotten better, but like the same as Ireland, my little sister was pregnant. The way the maternity appointments were handled with the lockdown, and still are handling, and the labour, and like Emma, my little sister, she gave birth in November, which was in the second lockdown. But the same as you, like the appointments and everything was just like, how was, because obviously you had Casey, didn't you, in normal times, and now you've had the twins with all the additional appointments that were needed, or the twins, the triplets, with all the additional appointments and all that as well. And then when lockdown hit, like, it just changed completely.
Well, this was the source of where my mental health started deteriorating, because of the restrictions that were imposed on the maternity care. I know that it was worldwide, but nobody was singing off the same hymn sheet.
No.
And even in Ireland, in the various maternity hospitals that we have here, there wasn't a plan across the board.
No.
So, there wasn't any information. Like, when we didn't actually know, I don't know whether you know this, Grania, but when we were attending Drogheda, as that was our hospital that we were planning on having the babies in, but because there is a lot of complications and high risk factors in a triplet pregnancy of the kind that we had, we were referred to Dublin, to go up to the Rotunda. So David's mum works in the city centre. So when we went up, we parked the car at her job, and we had already asked the consultant, would it be possible if we could bring somebody in? And she said, yeah, she didn't think that it was going to be a problem. So we had in our head that, like, David's mum could come in that day, and then maybe my mum could come in another day. And because it's such a special thing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really like, how, you're never going to see that in your life again.
No,
like,
exactly. You know,
so we had these plans anyway. But we got to the door of the hospital with David's mum, and I was only at that moment, it was like somebody just smashed my dreams or my hopes, or I don't know, it's weird. Like, well, we got to the door and we hadn't a clue. The security man turned around and said to David, no, not today. It was like he couldn't go, it was like he was going to a nightclub. Yeah, not today, mate. Like, you know, you're not wearing the right shoes or something, but there was restrictions imposed. So that was the fourth time.
Was that around March time?
That was, yeah. So I don't know the exact time, but I know that from the end of February I wasn't working, because I handed back over my lease to the salon, and the doctor had signed me off. I think the doctor signed me off at 24 weeks, but I had obviously loose ends in the salon, and had been a business owner, you have to kind of like get your ducks in a row. But I'd say it was probably the start of March, and at that stage, so we were attending Drogheda, but we had to move hospital. So this was my fourth time. I'd never been to this hospital ever in my life. We're being constantly told, you know, this is high risk, this is high risk. And I was always comforted at the fact that David was by my side.
Yeah, of course.
But when we got to the hospital and he wasn't allowed in, that was the realization for me that I was doing this alone. And like any appointment that I was going to be going to, I was going to be gone alone. any nails that I was going to be getting. I was going to be getting that nails alone. Like, we were told that if one of our babies didn't make it, it was bad nails for the rest of them too. So we had a small baby, and it was constant in your mind when you were going to an appointment or whatever. Like, that was the worry. Like, you know, there were so many things to be worried about, but that was the gigantic one. Like, you know, and it's just, it's very hard on your heart to have to go through those type of emotions. And but I felt that I couldn't show David how I was feeling, because it was him that was being robbed. Like, I was going in. Now, thank God, when we got good news every time we went in, like, it was, everything was going to plan, everything was going the way it was supposed to, thank God. But David missed out on the whole thing. Like, I know all fathers during 2020, the majority of them missed out on seeing their baby scans and stuff like that. This was another level. Like, in my mind, this was, needed him.
But as well as that, I think, well, in a, like, a single pregnancy, obviously, I don't know, I'm speaking completely on what I've seen and heard, and obviously sisters and nieces and all that. But, like, usually after the 20 weeks, or the 12 weeks and then the 20 weeks, things start to be, obviously, in normal cases, things start to chill out and stuff. But you never were out of the water. Like, you never, until them girls were in the world, you always,
it was always something.
Yeah,
like, at the start, as I was saying, like, there could have been a chromosome issue. Thank God that wasn't the case. Then it was we had a small baby.
Yeah.
So then that was something else to be worried about. Then we were worried about when they were grown, would they have enough space? Like, there was always, and as you said, after you get over the 20 week stage, then things start calming down. But there was no calming down on this pregnancy. It was always something, do you know what I mean? So going and starting that whole process in a brand new hospital in a high risk pregnancy without my support system, I was totally alone, and I felt every second of loneliness when I was sitting in the hospital. David never got to see scanning. Like, I'd bound out of the hospital and he'd be there waiting for me, and I'd have all the scan photos. It was like, it was like, you know, the scrolls, the old day scrolls. I had millions
reels of it.
It was great. But it was never going to make up for the fact that he was after missing out on it. And that was hard on me, because he's such a great dad. And I already, he's a great dad to Casey. He was always a great dad to Casey, and I knew he was going to be a great dad to the babies from just watching him with Casey. But this was his first experience of pregnancy. And babies. And I felt like I couldn't, like, even though I was, like, elated when I was leaving the hospital because we've had a really good appointment, I didn't want to be over celebrating, or I kind of felt like I was getting to go in and he had to stay outside. You know, I felt guilty about
that. You feel like you have to be really sensitive to the fact that, like you say, he's missed out on such a massive part of this whole journey. Like,
And everybody's talking about it at this stage, you know, like, it's a buzz in the local area because everybody knows there's triplets coming in Baytown, and you know that girl, you know that girl from the hairdresser, she's having triplets, you know your man that drives for the Chinese and small town syndrome is real, is very real. But I felt like I pressed down so many emotions of anger and hurt and guilt and everything. It led to, I had massive problems then after I had the girls. I did a video piece for an Irish national newspaper here. The Irish Times, they did, it was about fathers waiting in care parks.
I seen it,
Oh, Grania, I watched that, and the journalist sent it to me as a preview, and I watched it, and it was like a trigger for me. I was looking at myself speaking, and I was like, I feel so sorry for you. Like, I was looking at me and feeling sad for her. You know,
that and person.
It just brought me back to thinking about everything. And I had really, like, pressed down so many emotions. And they just came bubbling up to the forefront. And then I think everything is intensified with lockdown and restrictions. And you do feel sorry for yourself, but then throw in baby hormones into that as well, yeah. And sleepless nights by three, and it was a lot to deal with.
Yeah, of course. And then obviously, like you say, you had the girls in May. That was still very mm-hmm. much in the height of the lockdown, and because I know, obviously, because I follow you on Instagram and stuff, but like, but David was able to be there for them being the delivery and them being born, but then not again after that for like the
how did that all work? So what happened was that we knew obviously that we were having a section, because there's no way, like they had to come out of the sunroof. There wasn't another way to do it.
We got God says you.
Thank God said David. But we knew that it was going to be a section, and we knew that the babies were going to be premature. They were going to come earlier. So it was just, it was like day to day, kind of get through the day, get through the week. But the hospital were very reluctant to give me a date or a week that I would be expecting to have these babies, because they like you to go for as long as your body physically can. Now, personally, if I had, so they won't let you go over 34 weeks in pregnancy with triplets. I think that I could have went as long as they would have let me go.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like I was very ready for the pregnancy to finished and get these babies out of me. But at the same time as saying that, if I had been allowed, like I think my body would have been able for it. I don't know how mentally I would have been, like hindsight's a great thing. Like I'm looking back and going, I think I could have done it, but like my body was really able for it. Like it was strong. Like I was very proud of my body, very proud of everything that I was able to go through and produce. But on the day, so I had the girls at 33 weeks and 4 days. I would have been 34 weeks on the Sunday, but like they don't do anything in Irish hospitals at the weekend anyway. So I had the girls on the Thursday. So the morning of, so you get up early and you get organized, you get a shower and all the rest of it. And then David drove me in. And
so you weren't even in hospital before that? Because sometimes it's rest type thing. And
granted, through the whole thing. Yeah. I'm so lucky, and I don't mean to sound like that really annoying person that is like great and happy about
everything. It is what it is.
Like I really had a really great pregnancy. Like I know I couldn't stand, I know I couldn't walk, I'm aware of all that, but like I was growing 3 people.
Yeah.
Like I was very kind of like, I didn't give myself a hard time about that at all. Like I didn't get that mad sickness that people get, you know, the
I don't even know what the name is. Yeah, I know the one.
It's mad. Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
She was like in hospital with it and everything. Like, and I've heard of a good few people that have had it, especially it's very common in multiple births.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any of that. I was actually still working away. Like I was promoting, hair tools line at that time. And I was going around, like I was driving all over the country wearing high heels. And like looking back at it, I was like, what was I doing? Like David had to drive me because I actually wasn't allowed to drive. No. Like these are the loose ends that I was talking about earlier on, like cleaning up those loose ends. Like I had to be in Waterford, and that's about 2.5 hours away from here, and I had to get, like I say, I had to get, David had to drive, like I wouldn't have been able to.
No,
David was driving me around the place, and I was standing for 8 hours a day in my little leopard print boots at, like Shaw's department store. Like
you were able to, like obviously your body let really you was. Thankfully, like
I was able to do that, and I was able to stand and blow dry the hair of Eastmead as well. So I was able to, my body, I'm proud of it. Like I did rock star work. Like I was able to, but then the whole world kind of shut down with me then. Like once I was signed off work, kind of lockdown came in, salons closed. Like I was a workaholic at that stage anyway. Like I love work. Like I'm a hairstylist. I love being a hairstylist. I absolutely love my job.
Yeah.
And it would have been very difficult for me to have to stop and watch everybody continue.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when everyone else stopped, like you weren't missing out. But that FOMO, when you can't, you've been told you can't, and everyone else is still doing it. I think that's some way, like, it's the worst sort of situation, but the fact that everyone is in the same boat, not the same boat, but the same storm, it does make it feel a little bit like it's not just me missing out. Like, unfortunately, we're all missing out. So it takes that element away.
The whole world had to pause.
Yeah, like, for Emma. The whole world had to rest.
Like, we can't let this woman go crazy because she's not working. She can't be jealous of everybody else's stuff. So
everyone has to stop.
My bad, everybody. I'm sorry.
Your fault.
But yeah, so that was we were talking about David there. Sorry, I was asking
because I was surprised that you were still in your house. Did before you had the girls? Like, so you just rocked
up. They didn't want you there. Like,
yeah, true.
I've never had a section before, and I'm not too familiar with other people's, just my own experience. But I think that they do just take you in on the day if you're having a section. I think if you're being induced into labor, like to have them vaginally, I think that you could go in the next day, or the day before, but I never had to go in at any stage. Like, the only time I went in was to have like the steroid injections to help bring on the lungs for premature babies that all planned preemies get. But I didn't have to go in the day before. I went in dead early. He waited in the car park, and the nurses were like amazing. Like, I think that was probably the least time that I felt alone.
Yeah.
Because I was very aware. I was nearly, I don't want to say this now and be like absolute bitch of the world, but it was actually nearly nice for me to have that time with the bump on my own before it was
the
gone.
Last. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I knew that David was going to be able to come in, and I knew that I was going to have him. So that made me feel strong.
Yeah.
Every other time that I had gone to the hospital and where it was very uncertain and everything like that, I knew that I wouldn't have him with me, and he is my best friend. Like, you know, like, he is my partner in life and crime and everything, like, you know, and he really, I need him by my side. And when I was going in and I was on my own, and I knew he was outside, that was fine.
And he would be in. He was coming in at some stage. He'd be in, thankfully.
He'd be there. Yeah. And he'd be with me. And I knew that. And so it kind of was a nice calming time for me to just have that with the babies in the belly for the last little while. And then the nurses had to give me an L shave. I get the socks on, and then it was just time for getting babies.
Is that then allowed to come in then, literally once you were about to go into theatre?
So we were in a room. It was like your little room before they take you down to theatre. And when I was leaving that room, the nurses said to me, I had two lovely nurses with me, and they said, you can call them now. And I was like, go to see me fella. I rang him, and he was like ready to go. Like, you know, he's full of energy at the best of times. Yeah. I think he must have had a few coffees as well. But he came and he met me at the lift. So we arrived together, like at the theater together, and I got prepped on my own. Like, he wasn't allowed to come in while I was getting prepped or anything like that. Like, I came back out, and then we went back in together, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what a setup. Like, it's actually amazing to stop and chat about this for a while, Grania, because it's not very often that I would actually recount it. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, in the way that I'm speaking to you about
A nosy fecker, so behind the scenes, I'm intrigued. Like, everyone's like, oh, you don't want to know. Like, my sisters that have had babies and I haven't, and I say, when I have a baby, I want to know everything. They're like, no, you don't. I'm like, I want to know everything. Like, so all this, I'm just like, Emma, you just talk. I'm just fascinated.
Feed me info.
Yeah,
I'm a detailed monster. I'm just like, it's nice to kind of talk about this every now and again, because the day-to-day life with the triplets is so busy. Like, you don't actually get to think about like the beginning, like, you know, like how we got to here, like, you know. So we were in the theater, and there was just so many people, so many people in the room.
I've heard multiples and like premature babies and stuff, that like each baby has a team, and then you have a team, and then there's extra teams just in case. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's like just in case people there, and Like, bearing in mind, we're in the middle of like the height of lockdown.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't seen this many people together in a room.
It's Christmas, probably.
Like, yeah, like, what the hell? Actually, I had my baby shower just before lockdown came. So that was probably the last time I'd seen so many people in one area together.
Wow.
But I had, so there was a team for each baby, and then there was a team for me. And like, David was traumatized with some of the stuff he's seen, like, with my team, let's just say, that were looking after me. Buckets of blood, even.
Yeah, we should get David on the podcast and he can tell me his version of what it all looked like. Yours is obviously gorgeous, and
he'd love it. You should totally get David to come on and talk about it from his man's perspective, point of view,
definitely.
And he's a chatter as well, he'd love it. But they had a team each, so we had plenty of people there. And yeah, the babies were born. So Callie was born first, and then Minnie, and then Quinn. I had to kind of pause to think about that, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, what? My baby brain is real.
Yeah.
But the two girls, so Callie and Minnie, were both born at 9:29. They were born in the same minute. Yeah. And then Quinn was last. Then she was 9:30.
That's just mad how quick. So, I know, obviously, it's because they literally, the team will take them and that, but just how quick.
Take them out.
That's it. Like, they
have everything organized to a T. Like, they are so organized, you have no idea. Like, they have all the machines, the portable, like, they have to, like, you know, we're very lucky that all of our girls got to stay together in the hospital because of the restrictions, and because, like, it's not very often that you would have triplets, like, but it was the planned section, and like, somebody else's baby could come, like, most likely premature babies come prematurely in emergency or unexpectedly or whatever. So we were told when we did our little tour of the NICU, which is, like, for anybody who doesn't know, it's the neonatal intensive care unit.
Yeah.
So we knew that our babies were going to spend time there. So we were very lucky that we got to have a tour by the manager, the nurse manager of the NICU. She was able to show us everything or whatever. But so it could have been a thing that one of our babies would have been in Drogheda, one baby would be transferred to Cavan, which is like 2 hours away, and another baby might have had to went to Dublin. Like, it was all dependent on time.
Yeah.
And we were very happy to go to Drogheda, but only, so I was explaining to you that I had the girls on a tour. Say, I had an appointment in Dublin in the Rotunda on the Friday with the high risk consultants, and it was only then that she suggested that I could have the babies in Drogheda because things was going so well. So I didn't actually know where I was even having.
So you,
the kids.
Up until then, you could have still very well up been in the Rotunda. Oh my God.
Yeah. And like, I'm so happy that they moved us over, because I had visions of my waters breaking or going into labour by myself and David going up the motorway. Like,
yeah.
I would have had them babies on the motorway.
Yeah.
If David had to drive me to Dublin, because he would have just been so panicked to try and get me here.
But imagine that pressure. Like, I always look at like ambulance drivers, and you see them, and obviously this is their job and they're as cool as anything. But put somebody in the situation of my partner's just about to give birth to our three triplets, like, how the hell can you even put your shoes on, let alone drive a car up a motorway? Like, it's just like, thankfully, like you say, you didn't have to do that.
Thank God I didn't have to do that. It was always, that was another one of the worries that would have been in your head, like, sitting at home of an evening or whatever, am I going to go into labour tonight? Like, I had to get Casey, who's excellent. Like, I had to have her, she knew everyone's phone number off by heart. Like, she was locked down with me, like, you know, so she hadn't seen her granny. Like, we had seen each other, but she would be so used to going and spending time with my mum, her granny, going and doing sleepovers and whatnot. But she couldn't have any of that because we were so high risk and we were locked down. We weren't seeing anybody, you know. So,
and then you're obviously going into a hospital as well. So it's like this extra, like, I suppose, thing in the background of, like, you're going into a hospital setting where they've been, even when any restrictions started to lift, the restrictions were still as strict as ever, which obviously because it's a hospital and it's, you know, people are unwell and stuff, but like,
but you know, we had even like even more restrictive restrictions, if that makes any sense, because it's a duo hospital. So it's not a full on maternity hospital. Yeah. It's half maternity, half like what would you call it? Just regular hospital.
Yeah, but, like the public side. Yeah. And I'm going to leave it there for this week's episode. So hope you've enjoyed listening so far. Like I said, we're going to continue this conversation again next week. So yeah, come back again next Monday and you can hear obviously the next part of our conversation where Emma talks about bringing the girls home, what life is like with triplets, and obviously a few other random bits thrown into the mix for good measure too. So thank you again for listening and I'll speak to you again soon. Thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it would honestly mean the world if you would leave a review. I would genuinely appreciate that. And if you're liking what you're hearing, please hit the subscribe button so you get notified of any future episodes. Thanks again, guys, and I'll hopefully see you back here soon. Lots of love, G.